Good morning. Once again, I want to welcome you to Grace Church, and I just want to prepare you for what we're about to do. My apologies to all you homeschoolers for the words that are on the screen. I know you see that and you go, We are entering into a time of brand new study that the Lord, I believe, has laid on my heart, and I think he's confirmed it over the past week or so. I decided to call this series of messages Common Core. When our government decided to put together a base curriculum for all students across the board, they called it a Common Core curriculum. And there were certain things within that Common Core that they felt every student needed to know and every student needed to have. Now, there's some debate on what needs to be in there, what doesn't need to be in there, but that's not what we're talking about today. That's not what we're talking about in this particular series. What I want to help us with as we walk through this is to understand what is the basic elements of the Christian faith. If we are going to call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, what do we really need to believe? And so we are going to be walking through over the course of the next several weeks some very basic truths of Scripture. And really what I want to do today is kind of give you some of the reasons why I think we need to do this, and what this is hopefully going to help us with as we move forward. And then I want to take you, not necessarily in a linear progression of where we're going, because as you all know, sometimes the Lord changes our mind midstream. And so he's more than willing to do that. But he's also more than allowed to do that, because he's God and we're not. But before we begin this morning, let's pray together and just ask God, I'm going to be asking God to help me be clear in what I'm saying, because some of the things that we're going to talk about today and some of the things that I'm going to introduce to you today may raise an eyebrow, may bring up more questions. And if that does happen, then by all means, let's talk about it. As we walk through this, I want to make sure that I'm connected to the Lord and that I'm speaking on his behalf, because I don't want to speak on my own. And so let's go to the Lord this morning. Lord, we come before you, thanking you for who you are and for what you've done. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' precious name that we are saved and set free. Because of what your Son, Jesus, did on the cross, we have forgiveness of sins. Praise your name. And Lord, we are not living this Christian life in a vacuum. We are not living this Christian life in solitude, but we are living in a world that is messy. We are living in a world that is difficult. We are living in a world that literally hates you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that as we discuss these things, as we look at, kind of get an overall bird's eye view of where you're going to be taking us, to where I believe you're going to be taking us over the next several weeks, that you would help me to be clear. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth would be yours and not my own. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would be high and lifted up and honored and glorified, because, Lord, this is about you. It's not about Grace. It's not about Pastor Jim. It's not about Aledo, Illinois. Lord, this is about you and your kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see what it is that we need. And as we walk through it, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to do that, just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our base text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you have a copy of the Scriptures, I'm going to ask you to open them. I want us to begin to open up this book. This morning in our Sunday school class, we talked about what God's Word really is, a little bit about that, and why it's important that we open God's Word. And again, we're going to touch on that again here in a little bit. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 14 through the end of the chapter. And this is kind of the base text of where I'm coming from. So if you'll stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word, I will read it. You can follow along in your version, which may be a little bit different than mine. That's fine. But starting in verse 14 of chapter 2 of the book of 2 Timothy, This is what the Lord says through the Apostle Paul. He says, keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value, and it only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, "The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Lord, thank you for your word. And may it pierce our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, common core. What do we really need to believe? There are some reasons why I felt led to do this study. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, the key verse is verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. There are, in my mind, four reasons that we're going to do this study. The first reason is that the understanding of these essential truths will provide us with a firm foundation on which to build deeper truths. How many of you ever built something? Okay. When I was first married, when we first moved into our first house, we decided to build a deck off the back of it. I had never built anything in my life up to that point, and I thought, well, you know, a deck. Well, you know, just lay some wood and put it all up and put it all together, and it'll be great. As I was thinking that through, and as I was going through that, and I was talking with some folks in my church about, hey, I'm going to build a deck. There was a man who came up to me, very, very kind, very generous man, very wise man, put his arm around me and said, son, have you ever built a deck before? I said, no, sir, I haven't. And he said, I'm going to come over to your house on Saturday and I'll help you get started. I thought, okay, no biggie. Here's what he told me to do. Here's what we did on that Saturday. And some of you will understand this. Here's what we did on that Saturday. The first thing we did on that Saturday was we drove to Lowe's. And we started looking at wood. Now, I'm not talking about looking at wood as far as, yeah, that's wood. Okay? We started picking up 4x4 pieces of wood. And here's what we did. We looked down that piece of wood on all four sides to make sure it was straight, to make sure it was cut right, so that when we put it in the ground, everything would line up. I can tell you I have, probably still have splinters in my fingers from the amount of wood that we pulled, just the 4x4s that we pulled off the thing. And I wasn't building a very big deck. It was probably about as big as maybe this much of the stage. But we spent time making sure that the lines were true. When we picked out beams for the joists that would go across that the decking would actually sit on, we did the same thing. When we actually bought the decking, we did the same thing. And we discarded a lot of different boards because they weren't straight, because they were warped, because they were wrong, because they were not going to help us build the deck properly. And let me tell you something. because of what this man did for me and taking me through that, he helped me avoid a lot of issues in building my deck. That's what we did the first Saturday. The next Saturday, guess what we did? We dug holes. Now, we didn't dig holes like, okay? We did dug holes like this. Anybody hate digging holes like that? I hate digging holes. But we placed each hole exactly the length away from each other that they needed to be. We put the posts in straight, and we poured concrete mix in there, put some water in there so it would harden. We held it there. We set it up. That's what we did the second Saturday. It was 3 weeks before I even started building something that looked like a deck. Why? Because the foundation needed to be right. One of the reasons that I am so anxious about sharing these truths with you over the next several weeks is because I want us to get our foundation right. These are the truths on which we will build everything else. We're talking about essential truths. Second reason why we're going to be doing this study is this: that knowing the truths of your foundation will allow you to defend your faith with much more confidence. When you know what you believe and why you believe what you believe, you will be able to defend it with much more confidence. I want you to know your foundation, because when people begin to attack it, people begin to attack your faith, begin to attack what you believe, begin to say, well, that's not real, that's not right, that's not true, you can stand up and say, yes, it is. It is absolutely true. It is right and true, and everything else, again, that foundation will be straight and you'll have confidence in what you're doing. Third reason, as your pastor, I want to know that you have these things in your spiritual toolbox. I want you to know these things so that when people come and again attack, you are able to pull these things out and say, this is the truth. This is what God's word says. This is what my faith is built upon. You will be able then to stand up and speak to these things. And finally, these truths will help you to live your faith with confidence and surety that you know what you believe. And friends, I want you to understand, when you have these things and when you build your life on these things, this is the word of God, the rock on which we build, and it is firm. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who builds his house on the rock. And the storms come and the winds blow and the beat against that house, but it stands firm because its foundation is on the rock. And that's why we want to do this study. Okay? Let's talk about what we're going to be studying. This isn't a linear timeline. These might not be the exact weeks in which they go, and there, we may interject some things, we may pull some things out. So please don't hold me to this as we go along, okay? One of the very first things we're going to talk about is Genesis 1:1. Now, I know some are going to say, why are we going to spend a whole week on one verse? Because, my friends, this is part one of the study of God. And without God, there is no hope for us. Without God intervening, there is no hope for mankind. We're going to discuss some of the reasons that this truth, the truth of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, why this truth has been coming under attack in recent times. And we're also, hopefully, going to begin to understand the importance of clinging to this truth. Suffice to say, if we can get a hold of in the beginning God, even before there was a heaven, even before there was an earth, if we can get a hold of the fact that God always was, and He has no beginning, He has no end, that He always was and we are a product of His creation, if we can grab hold of that, all the rest is easy. Because if I believe that in the beginning God, feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish is no big deal. If I can believe that in the beginning God, then parting of the Red Sea and the whole nation of Israel, millions of people walking across on dry ground, no big deal. Because in the beginning God. So we're going to go there. We're also going to lay foundation. We're going to discuss the importance of the Scriptures and their reliability. We're going to talk about some basic tips on how to study the Bible. When I was in college, I went through a class every student at Moody was supposed to take. The class was called hermeneutics. Now, I had no idea who hermeneutics was, and I still don't know who he is. I've never met him. But Herman is a very important person. I'm kidding. It's hermeneutics is the Bible study methods. How do we study the Bible? How do we come at the Bible? How do we, when we open the Scriptures, we look at passages, and we talked about some of them today in our Sunday school class that confuse us, that are puzzling, that we have to really wrestle with in certain aspects. But we have to wrestle with them in the right way. And we have to come at them in the right way. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Scripture. And really, I think this study is probably going to be next week, because we need to have that foundation of Scripture. Next, we're going to look at the Trinity. Now, please understand, this is not going to be a one-week study. Okay? It's going to be at least four parts when we talk about the Trinity. We're going to look at how the Trinity is revealed in Scripture, because the word Trinity isn't found in Scripture. Okay? You'll know, you won't find it. But God reveals Himself to us in three distinct persons, and that's where we get the concept and the doctrine of the Trinity. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to introduce it. We're also going to then spend a week each on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, looking at each of them and why it's important that we believe rightly about each of those parts of our triune God. We're going to look at the virgin birth. We're going to look at why the virgin birth had to happen. And we're also going to be talking about how it could happen and why it's important. Some of you might look at that and say, virgin birth is part of Common Core? Why is... Listen, I hope that I'll be able to convince you that if it weren't for the virgin birth, we'd still be in a whole heap of trouble. So, anyway, that's called a teaser. We're also going to be studying about atonement and resurrection. We're going to be looking at the death of Jesus, how it changed everything. My friends, I want you to understand something very clearly and very plainly here. And what I'm going to say is this, that when Jesus gave up His Spirit on the cross, everything changed. Everything changed. Because when He cried out in that loud voice, "It is finished," the temple veil that separated the holy place where the priests would go and sprinkle blood on the different articles that were in that temple from the holiest of holy places, which is where God was said to reside in on the mercy seat where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. That veil, which was 3 inches thick fabric, woven to 3 inches. I mean, we would have trouble ripping fabric that's a quarter inch thick. But this was 3 inches thick, and it was torn in two, ripped completely apart from top to bottom. And that's not a coincidence either. But when Jesus died on the cross, it opened the way for us as human beings to have, listen to this, to have direct relationship with God. Death of Jesus changes everything. His atonement changes everything. And His resurrection changes even more stuff. Where Jesus' death, the atonement brings forgiveness. Resurrection brings hope. Amen? Amen. So we're going to spend some time on those two things. We're also going to look at the second coming of Jesus. Now let me just begin by saying this. We're not going to talk timing. We're not going to scour Revelation and try to dissect every single part. But what happens is when we understand that Jesus is coming again, it helps us with our evangelism. and also with our confidence and hope in the future. Jesus said, I'm coming again. If I go and prepare a place for you, and he said, I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again, and I will take you to be with me where I am. Yeah, but that was 2,000 years ago. Yeah, so, point. Listen, the point is not, when is he coming? That's not what God wants us to really be concerned about, because Jesus even said, the words of Jesus on this topic are this. To his disciples, it is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority. Elsewhere, he says, no one knows the day or the hour which the Son of Man will return. Not the angels in heaven, not even, I will translate this for you parenthetically, not even me, Jesus says. The Son, not even the Son knows when I'm coming back, but only the Father. And again, with the whole Trinity thing, that makes it a little weird. But here's the point. Jesus said, I don't even know when I'm coming back. The Father knows when I'm coming back. And so you don't need to worry about that. Yes, it's been 2,000 years. It could be another 2,000 years. It could be another 10,000 years. It could be another 20,000 years before he comes back. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is this, that the coming of Jesus Christ is closer today than it was yesterday, and it will be closer tomorrow than it is today. He is coming. Amen. Because he promised he'd come. And if he is coming, then A, it means we better get off our chairs and get busy, brother. I'm talking about the coming of Christ. Whether you want to talk about the rapture or whether you want to talk about his return and setting up his kingdom here on earth. We'll get into that. But here's the thing. He's coming, and that should affect how we share the gospel. It also should affect our confidence in knowing one day this world is going to meet Jesus face to face, and all the people who say Jesus isn't real and God isn't real and the Bible's a work of fiction and fantasy are going to be on their face worshiping Jesus. Amen. We'll also be talking about some of the differences in belief here, and that piece has to do with the rapture and more timing and stuff, and we'll look at those too. So that's where we're headed. And of course, Sunday morning wouldn't be Sunday morning without a challenge. And this is really where we're going to sit for a while, okay? And listen, brothers and sisters, I want you, first of all, first challenge point this week is to spend some time this week in prayer for your pastor. I want to get this right. I want to get this right. I want to make sure that what I bring to you as the essentials of your belief system is right. And again, like I said, you know, that list of six things that we just looked at, that could all change tomorrow if God so chooses. And that's fine. If you have questions, if you have concerns, if you have say, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this? Let's talk. Okay? But please pray for me. Because I desperately want this study. I want to get it right. Second challenge. Take some time and look up some of the scriptures on these truths yourself. Get into the scriptures. See what you might believe about these things. You might look at some of these things and the things that I say. You might say, Pastor, you're all washed up on this. You're not thinking straight. You're not interpreting the scriptures properly. Listen, I'm a man. Most of you have figured that out by now, I hope. But I am not the final authority on these things. He is the final authority on these things. And so if I say something that doesn't jibe with what you're reading in Scripture, let's talk about it. And if I need to get up here and say, you know what, I said this last week and I was wrong, and I ask your forgiveness, I will ask your forgiveness. Okay? Often, I will ask your forgiveness. Third challenge. And this, I don't mean this to sound condescending, okay? Please don't see this as condescending. But the third challenge is this. Think. Don't just accept what the pastor is saying. Think. Think critically and ask questions. Listen. One of the men who I talked to, it wasn't last week, it was the week before when I was at camp. He told me, he said, I can answer any question you have. Because I know how to say, I don't know. All right? I don't know is an answer. You ask me a question, I can say, I don't know. But here's the thing, I'm not going to leave it there, I don't know. If you ask a question that I can't answer, you and I are going to, together, we're going to go into the scriptures. We're going to research. We're going to dig. We're going to figure it out. What does God say about this? And listen, I want you to think critically. I want you to be absolutely, I do not want to stand up here and tell you what to believe. I don't want to stand up here and tell you what to think. Because if I tell you what to think, someone else is going to come out along behind me and tell you, no, you shouldn't think that. This is what you should think. What I want to help you do is to learn how to think. Think for yourself. And again, I don't mean this to be condescending. I know me. When I was a kid, when I was young, I would go to church and I would just drink in whatever they told me. And they could have told me that the moon was made of green cheese. I probably would have believed it. It might be. I don't know. I've never been there. That was a joke. Anyway, apparently it wasn't funny. But I want you to think for yourself. I want you to think critically. If you hear something and it doesn't sit right, then say something about it. Ask the question. Last challenge. This is going to seem obvious. Pray some more. Pray for me. Pray for you. Pray for our church. Pray that we begin to see what God desires for us. My friends, I want all of us. I want you. I want myself. I want us to have a foundation of truth that will take us far, that we can build high upon, that we can dig down deep into God's truth. Paul, at one point, he said to one of the churches, he said, you know what? You guys aren't even mature enough to listen to the truth. You need me to teach you elementary truths over again. And listen, that's not the reason we're doing this, because I think you guys are spiritual babies. That's not what I'm doing this. I am doing this because sometimes I think we lose sight of what's essential. And a lot of times we will take those secondary and tertiary issues and we will put them in the essential category, and the essential issues will say, well, that doesn't really matter. That's one of the reasons. And I'll close with this. That's one of the reasons why I'm so anxious to share with you what God's been dealing with me in the area of this whole Genesis 1:1 thing. This is an area that Satan is attacking. And he wants us to believe that in the beginning wasn't God, but was nothing. We need to believe what the Bible teaches concerning who God is, what He has done, and how He has done it. And as we walk through those things, my prayer is that we will begin to be able to take in that richer, deeper, more satisfying food of truth as we dig deeper into the Word of God. So, I hope you come with me on this journey. It's going to probably be a pretty bumpy ride, but I think it's going to be good for us. Let's close in prayer. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Sustainer, we pray that as we seek Your face and Your truth over the next several weeks, Lord, that You would help us to know, that You would help us to see, that You would help us to look for those straight boards with which to build our foundation, that we would dig down deep, that we would set your truth before us, Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, the one who we build horizontally and vertically off of, Lord, that everything that we do in our own personal relationship with you, Lord, that is where it comes from, and that you would be honored, and that you would be glorified, and that you would be lifted up, and that you would use us in ways beyond that we could even imagine here on this earth, to see your kingdom come and your will be done here on this earth, even as it is done in heaven. And we pray all of this, Lord Jesus, in your precious and holy name.